We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On the phone with Dr. Anthony Rao, child psychologist, author of The Power of Agency, and a guy who's been helping us through some very tough times, and we're coming up on that one-year anniversary of 14 Days to Flatten the Curve, and here we are. Dr. Anthony Rao, how are you?
Hey, I'm really good. That was very nice of you to say. Appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. You've done a lot just to kind of, I don't know, pull things into focus or put things into perspective, and one of the things that we're focusing on this morning is the passion gone? And you can think about it two ways, you know, with couples living together, pandemic, a lot of time together, sometimes that passion is gone. But the passion that a family has to do stuff, to live life, to get involved, to really just kind of, you know, have that passion for life and activity and discovering new things, that's kind of been tapped down over the last year. What can families do before we get to the parents, what can families do to get over that low energy that might be bogging you down where you feel like you're in a rut?
Yeah, and it is low energy being cooped up. Think of it this way. It's like you've been keeping the car in like the lowest gear possible or just idling in the driveway. You know, things are still functioning, but nobody's going anywhere. And so what ends up happening is people start to lose interest. They start to get irritable. They start to, their mind starts wondering, like, you know, am I ever going to get back to where I was? Or are we going to be able to get back to where we were? And I just want to assure everyone that the answer is absolutely yes. And, you know, things are changing and they're improving. And as things get better, you're going to feel from time to time like a little bit of a loss of that inertia. It's kind of like a momentum, a sort of a peak once in a while. And what we're telling folks is, look, stop like worrying, like, how can I be that like busy or passionate or attractive or interesting person I used to be? Can I go all over the place? I had a mom the other day say that to me. She's like, secretly, I got to tell you, I'm just like fearful that like I'm not going to be the same when this is all over. Like, can I be that person again? I was like, absolutely yes. Our baseline behavior, how we used to be before something happens, is what naturally will come back. So I just want people to know that, you know, this is a waiting game, and just don't make it worse while we're waiting kind of game. Because that's where I think we cause damage, you know, to our relationships and with our kids and our friendships and our self-esteem. We just want to make sure that we're just, you know, we're pressing that hold button, or I should say it's more like idling in the driveway. We're not going anywhere just yet, but we will.
It's hard. And I know everyone talks about going back to the way it was. And I've really, like myself, I've had to shift focus to, I'm not worried, I'm not concerned about what it was in the past. I'm sort of concerned about what it is now. I'm very concerned about what it can be in the future. And that's where you want to, I have, you know, you set goals and you kind of like, okay, well, let's make this better. Let's make that better. Given all the changes, you know, maybe we can make it better in the future than it was in the past. It's this whole shift of perspective that I love to impress on people, is just stop thinking about, I want it to be back the way it was. Think forward. Think tomorrow. Think next year. What can it be? What can we do? And it's hard with the rules and changes, and especially with kids, because kids sometimes don't get the perspective game, especially based on age. What advice do you have for dealing with little kids?
Okay, be as flexible as possible and stay with what's just today, the next few hours, tomorrow, mm-hmm. the next week.
Give me an example of flexible. What should we be flexible on?
Well, you know, all of the ways we used to think about children and development and what they need and keeping up with what all the people are doing in terms of the team sports we want to enter them into and when they start school and, you know, all of these things with all the changes have just get shifted around and you can't really predict very long term anymore.
Nuh-uh.
So in a lot of ways, if you just live a little bit more of the sort of day to day, week to week, month to month, start slow, start small, and push off, if you can, any of the anxieties and worries about future. I really liked the way, Nick, that you framed it as, like, we've got some multiple possibilities here. In other words, we're going to come out this thing with new ways of looking at things that we didn't realize. We're going to have a lot more flexibility in where kids go to school, how they go to school, how we work, how, you know, maybe we don't want to be as achievement-driven as we used to be. Maybe these kids don't have to be off and running so fast with multiple activities. You know, just think back how frenetic it felt and what it was really like. There actually are going to be people wondering, like, when the pandemic's over, like, I want to actually retain some of the better features of what we learned about ourselves.
What about the passion for couples moving to the, you know, not so much family stuff, but bow-chicka-bow-bow kind of passion for couples that have been in pandemic and the routine and the change of landscape where maybe you're all in the same house at the same time? What advice do you have for couples that are dealing with the passion that might be gone?
Yeah, reset those expectations and don't worry that, you know, you are less attractive or that, you know, even sexually we are not as much a better couple as we used to be. These are highly unusual circumstances. You could put a brand new couple that's really attracted to each other and, you know, and put them together 24/7 and they will burn out as well. It's just a human thing. So once we have the flexibility and the freedom to be able to go out more, do more things, have more separate, independent lives, then we come back and we feel fresher. So this as well, like everything else, is going to return back to a baseline. And there may be some things we've learned about each other, you know, in a weird way, like who would spend this level of time with each other? We kind of know them better. We may want to inventory that and say, you know, I actually know some new things. Maybe it's a time to find out more things. And, you know, and think about the people you love, and especially, you know, your spouse and your partner and your love interest as friends and people more than just sort of a role. You know, I'm a husband, I'm a wife, I'm this, I'm that. And think more like that and, you know, try to understand a little bit more who they are. Because, again, once this shifts, you know, as we head into spring and summer, a lot more outdoor time, more vaccinations, a lot of changes taking place. Now, this is going to change. And right now, you do have an opportunity to learn a little bit more about each other.
We got a little flavor of spring fever this week. Temperature got up to, 50 degrees, and it's been cold for so long. And today's a beautiful sunny day. So I think people are just starting to be, you know, popping their heads out going, wait a minute, hold on. This changes everything. It's weird how weather, how a simple temperature shift can really change things within the home dynamic and kind of get people sort of awake and alert and feisty for the spring season.
Yeah, we've seen the seasonality, you know, in research studies over the years where, you know, people report more, if you will, symptoms, mostly depressions during the sort of quieter, darker, interior, colder winter months. And then suddenly it's like somebody, you know, shakes an Etch-a-Sketch and it's like, oh, brand new. And that's a great example, in fact, of that momentum I was talking about earlier. It just comes back. And we are very tied to the natural environment, aren't we? You know, if we see sunlight, if we feel something more warm, if we can get outside a little bit, and then we start to see some natural things, and it's like, whoa, it changes everything instantaneously. So it's always good to remind yourself, when I am feeling bad, a lot of it is just this temporary, if you will, sort of cloud over us, and therefore I have to supplement it with other sorts of small activities and get through it, and I start a book just because I'm bored, or whatever it takes, because it always lifts.
Dr. Anthony Rao, final thing I want to touch on this morning with our little like level check-in with you. Worried about teenagers and making sure you keep a close eye on the teens in your life. Why is that important, especially right now today?
Really, really important to bring up. Keep an eye on your teens and the teens in your orbit.
What are we watching for?
Well, we're looking for more of the same. In other words, it's adolescence, right? So, you know, it's a little wacky anyways, or it's super quiet and isolating looking. So you're kind of looking for the same, only a little bit more, you know? So, you know, again, if there's more isolation or there's a sudden change where they're really pulling back. I know it's really hard to figure that out during the pandemic, but crying spells in kids, you're normally not seeing it. Outbursts that just go too much over the edge, or the frequency of it is just climbing.
Okay.
But certainly anything that is about self-harm or whatever, take a little bit more seriously. Study out that just showed that these types of sort of suicidal actions or threats are up by about 25% in kids, you know, 11 to 21. Hmm. It kind of makes sense. There's so much sort of stress and pressure, and so anything under the surface is going to rise up for a while. So let's just keep an eye on them.
All right. It's hard to tell what's just a phase and what's something you need to be concerned about. And it's, you know, it's hard to ask a kid like to their face, hey, what's going on? Yeah, I don't think you ever get a straight answer, but it doesn't hurt to ask. So can you give me a piece of advice of how to open that dialogue and get a real, legitimate, helpful answer from kids who rarely give that?
Yeah, I mean, I do this in the office, which is you ask permission. Like, look, I have some thoughts and some concerns, and I know this is intrusive, so just bear with me. They roll their eyes. They look down. They're like, leave me alone.
Yep.
And just say, look, I'm just going to tell you a little of, like, what I'm thinking. I could be completely off. You position yourself not as the authority, but as just someone who's curious and caring. And then, you know, you can also sit down with them and just spend time with them side by side or in a car ride, and you don't need to pounce on them and get at it, whatever it is, your concerns, and you just spend a little more time with them and just sort of watch them and observe and have them show you some of the games they're doing and some of the other things. They'll think, oh, yeah, you're just up to see if I'm doing something wrong on social media, but just say, look, I just wanted to hang with you, or let's play like a board game together or some cards, or just take a walk with me and just spend a little more time. That increases opportunities for them to maybe say something. Then you can go in. That's what we do professionally. We try not to pounce, you know, in very quick meetings. You feel like, oh yes, okay, tell me, are you feeling this way? Have you felt that way? Only if you have that relationship, which is professional, does that work with teenagers. For parents, it's really hard.
Best conversations happen in a car, hands down.
Don't they? Yeah.
They really do. Dr. Anthony Rao, thanks for spending some time with us, and hopefully you help sort of reset us for the weekend and get us through what is this crazy pandemic time. Child psychologist, author, your book is called Power of Agency. It's a great read. It's also a great gift for anybody that's going through these tough times. Thanks for talking to KISS 98.5.
Thank you, Nick.